Hello, you're listening to a spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray!
Sudden death! That's what we're talking about this week. I'm Richard, hello. With me to do the podcast is Abby. And Anthony.
Bonjour.
And not Jamie, but this week's we've all got in the same room.
I
We're
know.
actually.
It's weird, I don't like it.
One of the very few instances where we can actually be within touching distance.
I'll do
Like the good old
it.
days.
I did it. I
Oh,
touched Anthony.
Abby.
No.
Well, for the listeners, we're still disembodied voices, so let's not worry about it. But Abby, it was your choice that we have sudden death this week. We all
Yeah.
survived and lived through it. But why did you pick the Muscles in Brussels' premiere? Not premiere. It was sort of just a very good. It's one of his, what's the word?
Not one of the terrible ones.
Not like, was the terribly,
Acceptable.
terribly inarticulate of me. One of his accepted movies that you could watch. It's like Die Hard, but not quite as good. Why did you pick Sudden Death with Van? Oh, sorry. You give the IMDb.
Yes. What the fuck is wrong This week we are talking about Sudden Death from 1995. It concerns a former fireman who takes on a group of terrorists holding the vice president and others hostage during its seventh game of the NHL Stanley Cup finals. It
You feel
stars.
like you enunciated that properly because you looked like you were struggling.
I struggled, but I think I achieved.
Yeah.
It stars Jean-Claude Van Damme, Powers Booth, Raymond J. Barre, Whitney Wright, Ross Gallagher, and Dorian Harewood.
Yeah.
And I picked it, Ridge, in answer to your question, which came in your little question sandwich. It's because I've been looking up hockey a lot lately, and I was in the mood.
Really? I wasn't expecting that.
You're not a hockey fan, though, Abby, generally.
I think I would be given the chance, but it's not really something we do in this
You
country.
don't have to be given the chance. You just turn it on and start
It
watching.
isn't a thing around you, though, is
No,
it?
but it's not exactly on TV all the time, is it?
You have to have Sky.
Yeah.
Your parents have Sky, you're often.
No, I think that's shit Sky.
Oh, they don't have the Sky Sports package with the hockey on whenever the season. Hey, why are we looking up hockey if you're not a massive fan of it,
It's
then?
to do with my book. I was researching hockey.
Also, unfilm related, looking up
Yeah.
hockey for writing purposes.
I forgot to say it was directed by Peter Hyams.
Peter Hyams.
Peter Hyams?
Again? We always do Peter Hyams
He is
films.
our penultimate, not penultimate, like our ultimate
He's our top
director.
director, and then Michael Caine's our top actor.
Yes.
Top in terms of we've discussed their films a lot on our
Yeah.
series.
It was also written by Karen Lees Baldwin and Gene Quintana.
Quantano, like the bay, Guantanamo Bay. Okay, so you're looking up hockey and you had hockey on the brain.
I did. I had
So
hockey brain.
you went, I'll have the Die Hard set in a hockey stadium.
Yeah. And I like Jean-Claude.
Jean-Claude.
But who doesn't like Jean-Claude?
Ah, JCVD, he's good,
Yeah,
isn't he?
it's good.
He's one of the power four of the action movies. Like, there's Arnie, there's Van Damme. And then, who would you say is the. Is it like. Chuck Norris is quite shit, Chuck Norris.
Don't
You
forget
know what I mean?
Stallone.
Stallone, he's got to be power four. Who's the.
Bruce
Who's.
Willis.
It depends on your criteria, because Steven Seagal is
Fuck
one of the
him.
most famous ones, but
Yeah, but
I
where.
don't know if that's what you're
I
talking
think
about.
people put Van Damme in the category with Stallone and. Arnie, rather than like Chuck Norris and just
Seagal.
Jason Statham these days, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I personally have Jean-Claude Van Damme like a half tier between like Seagal, Norris, and then Schwarzenegger, Stallone.
Yeah.
Personally, because he doesn't.
Him and Dolph.
Yes,
Yeah.
because he doesn't. I don't think he quite had. He only had like a handful of greats. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, he can still do straight to DVDs, whereas if Arnie is in something, it probably won't go straight to DVD. And then Bruce Willis, I kind of discount him because he does non-action movie stuff. I mean, they all do comedies and stuff. But anyway, Van Damme is good. We like him. Mwah, 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 and all that. Anthony, have you seen Sudden Death before?
This is one of those films where I've seen it probably about 10 times on TV,
Really?
but I never remember any of the details. So what I remember was Jean-Claude Van Damme fighting a mascot of some kind.
Penguin.
him also somehow contrivantly getting into the hockey game.
Yes.
And I remember a helicopter going through the roof of... So these are the only images. Even though I've seen it 10 times, these are the only images that stuck with me. And
I remembered his douchebag kids myself.
I totally forgot they were there, to be honest with you. Well,
he did. Like, his character. Just neglecting his children, mostly.
So, when it comes to Jean-Claude Van Damme films, like I said, he's only had, like, a handful of greats.
Yeah.
And I know what they are.
Yeah.
And this wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
So... I was coming in, I don't know, ambivalent. It was either going to be good, probably going to be subpar. What I was coming in thinking. But probably going to be enjoyable enough to get through it. Because it, at the end of the day, it's Jean-Claude Van Damme, and he's probably going to beat some people up and make some terrible jokes, and that'll be entertainment value enough.
Yeah. Well, it's got one of those titles that's so generic, like Sudden Death. Like, you know, anything like Deep Impact, just anything just sounds vaguely hard. You're kind of like, what's that about? It should be called Hockey Mayhem or something. Just crazy terror hockey, something like that. Just because it makes you focus in on what it is. Because it could literally be anything with the word sudden death. I don't think of hockey, like the end of a hockey match going to sudden death is not something I associate with that term. But then, I'm not a hockey fan, innit?
I'd like, also, while we're on the subject of the title, just... it was not mentioned for so long, and then when it came to like the sudden death in the actual game that it runs parallel with the thing, they milked it for all its worth.
It was good though. You almost felt like cheering or hey, like sudden death was finally mentioned as a phrase.
Although I found it a bit odd that the hardened terrorists are following the rules of the game when they could just, you know, they clearly aren't following the rules and they're playing it by their own game, but for some reason it's like, oh well, on a technicality the game's going, so on a technicality I guess we'll give them some more time to pay us.
Well, at the same time, they do want more money, so if you give them more time they'll get more money.
I feel like the Powers Booth, who plays the main villain terrorist who does a naughty thing in this, I feel like we need to drag his scheme over the coals in more depth. I think we need to establish more of what it's about first, but I think we need to come back, revisit this. Do terrorists go to extra time if they need it?
Exactly.
Because there is a big quandary, really. It's almost like he goes, well, I'm sportsman enough. Let's see how this... And then that does mean sudden death, because everyone can literally die suddenly. If someone flicks a puck into the right bit of space. Not very good with hockey. Net, not goal? Goal.
Sure.
But yes, Abby, would you put the... is this in the category of a classic Van Damme? Would you say this is one of his textbook, if you want a good Van Damme film? Because I think it kind of... I think it's a good one, but
in terms of its action, it's absolutely fine. Mm. What doesn't put it with like that classical type is there aren't actually that many jokes. There are a few, but it's not the kind of aren't as many one-liners as you would normally expect.
I still very tropey as action films go.
But to be fair with the film, it does play with them. Like it's not. It doesn't go.
It's self-aware.
It is kind of self-aware, and it introduces the cliché, and there are moments where you're like, you know, groan, kind of, oh, I see where this is going. But then immediately, it just turns a corner and goes like, nope, we're not doing that.
It's like the bad guys in the film go, I know you expect bad guys in films to do this, but that's not what we're doing. Our plan is more dastardly or somehow slightly altered to what you'd expect.
Yeah, and kind of like, they'd... It felt like they themselves have already seen all the kind of diehard films, and they know what's going to happen, and they've already prepared for it.
They're arrogant in their knowledge of how these things go down, and therefore are confident their stupid plan will work.
So yeah, I suppose I'll get into it. I'll say I really... This was a lot better than I was expecting, this film. It's quite solidly made. It's really well directed, and I think the strength is in the writing.
it's a well-paced blockbuster. You got a protagonist, you got dilemma, you got a fairly unique location and scenario for it to take part in. So, and it's just getting from beginning to end through the formula of one guy taking down all the bad guys. It's kind of that. I mean, Die Hard's the most famous for one man takes on all of the baddies, and this does that. And it's well paced, and it's interesting and different to all the other types out there.
Yeah, because it also has that like through line of MacGyver as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of moments where Jean-Claude Van Damme gets a pen and gets some stuff, and it's like, oh, what's he going to do with all these things?
What I love is how reasonable it was that he got those things as well. It's like, the man had some shoes in a bag. That's how he got a bag. He also had lighter fluid and a lighter because he smokes.
Mm.
Yes, this is all perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying about the writing, because the film was really good at setup and payoff.
It was.
Everything that came back was set up at some point. Like
the little girl stamping the security guard with the penguin stamps, and then it's relevant to when, I guess, she gets kidnapped later.
And one of the most subtle ones where it almost got me, it was right at the end, and he's like on the roof, and then he swings down on a camera.
Yeah.
To kind of break through the glass into the box where all the terrorists are.
Mm.
And even then, like at the beginning, it's the smallest setup, and it's just one of like the directors in the TV just goes like, show us what the gods see. Which I laughed at the time, but like when it came round to it, it's like, oh, okay, I see why that was there.
Well, the film premise then is Jean-Claude is, what's his real name? What's his name in this? Just Fireman Sam. It doesn't matter. I'm on too it. Much. We're going to call him Jean-Claude all the way through anyway. Van Damme is a fireman. Not necessarily called Sam.
It's Darren McCord.
That definitely didn't come up. McCord?
They called him McCord a lot.
Not McCord.
Darren. McCord McLean.
It's very much trying to be Die Hard without overemphasising it. But, you know, Van Damme is a fireman. He has a couple of kids that he's taken to a hockey game, and he's got free tickets to this championship match between the Penguins and the Chicago...
the
Chicago Hawks?
Hockey people.
Is it the Hawks versus the Penguins?
I wouldn't say Black Hawks, but I think I may have made that up.
Pass.
What are the Penguins? The Pittsburgh Penguins?
Oh, yeah, Penguins, because... mascot penguin, yeah. I don't know. Not relevant.
there's an important. I think it's the championship, isn't it?
It's some sort of final.
And his kids are going comped because he's the fire marshal, and instead of doing his job, he's going to half change light bulbs at his at his son's resentment. His son's like, hey, Dad's a fireman. Oh, he changes. Does Daddy change his light bulbs? No. Yeah, he just changes light bulbs. So changes his tone, doesn't he? He kind of accepts that his dad's a loser. Not a real fireman.
Yeah, that's a bit of like a plot through line that didn't really go anywhere, did it? Because the film starts with him being, like Jean-Claude being an actual fireman in a house, and he fails to save like a young girl.
He has a traumatising experience at a fire.
Inverted commas traumatizing, because it's not really that relevant.
He never has flashbacks like, I can't kill all the terrorists because I let a child die in a fire.
Yeah.
He's relaxed. If anything, he's kind of matured into a more managerial role. He doesn't have to fight flames so much as make sure health and safety is abided to.
Flames don't happen, which is, you know. And they try, like you said, the kids try and play it like he's not a proper man anymore because he's not a real firefighter. But it doesn't really go anywhere, does it?
Daddy can't make any more brothers and sisters because he's not a man anymore. now that he's had a traumatic experience in a fire, Mummy doesn't get pregnant anymore. Anyway, he's at the game. He's doing his job. His kids have to stay there. Stay in these seats. I'm going to leave you now for hours, small children.
No, what he was going to do was check in on them periodically, like go check whatever he's got to check, come back on them, blah, 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 blah. But what happens is she fucks off immediately and he's looking for her the rest of the film, and the boy's got no choice but to sit there.
And fighting terrorists, in fact. He is preoccupied with money... stealing terrorism, so
I do like the way, like right at the very end, where the boys just saying, I didn't know if I sat here. And there's just this implication of, I've shit my pants.
I both hate it and love it. But the boy is a bit annoying, but he's meant to be. And the kid is, I imagine the kid was how you were as a child, Abby. She got just glasses and is nice, but maybe a smidge dorky and...
And will do what she wants, really.
She's feisty, but also... Yeah, I don't know. Did you find the girl was like you as a child, era-wise?
I don't know. I was never really put in a position where I was face-to-face with a terrorist and I had to say that my dad would come and get me.
Your dad is Canadian, so I find it surprising he'd never took you and abandon you in a hockey match, because that's what Canadians do. Because
like
he was playing Canadian, was old Belgium-y French a lot.
Like I said, there wasn't hockey to go to for my dad to take me to it.
And your brother would have been slightly older, so you could have replicated that. This might have happened to you. You just don't remember because you saw a penguin be deep fried. It was traumatizing. Actually, I was going to say, the one thing I remembered from this was a fight with... I mean, the reason I knew that Sudden Death was going to be good again, because I had seen it like once, was I remember there being a fight with a giant penguin. And any film that has a giant penguin fight is ace. I also, the helicopter thing stuck out.
Yeah, but the one fact I didn't remember about that fight was that there was a woman inside the mascot.
Oh, feminism at work there.
I like that they had to remind you every now and again as well. Like, it lost a glove so you could see that she had painted fingernails and stuff like that. It's like, this is a woman, remember that. This is weird.
I like that at some point she was a terrorist about to extort money from the government. And she was just painting her nails red. Again. Later on today, I'm going to be pretending to be a mascot and possibly executing innocent people. But no, she was not doing much of that because she got garroted by a dishwasher.
She was.
That's one hell of a dispatch.
They never... Like, where did she go?
Ran around fight through the kitchen for a bit. And it's quite a good fight. I mean, the best thing in it is probably... Van Damme roundhouse kicking the shit out of a giant penguin and dispatching this woman via... I mean, they do the classic thing that happens in all this guy's films where he has a deep fat fryer fight happen. Like, there has to be... Outland,
yes.
Where's the other... There's at least three chip fat fire fight sequences.
I'm on it.
But this was another one.
Yeah.
Peter Hyams loves the old deep fat fryer as a weapon. In his films. And he did this with a penguin that burnt its eye off in the... How did it burn its eye off?
Was in the kitchen. Her manicured hand was exposed.
Yeah. So when did it
fried.
When did the penguin become a cyclops?
Was it a fan? That was when it hit the ceiling fan.
Nice. Anyway, but like once she is garrotted by the dishwasher and left, I guess the other baddies tidy her up and put her in a laundry basket or something out of the way.
You'd assume otherwise she just maybe melted with all the dishwashing liquid. I don't know.
Was there a chip fan fight in Stay Tuned?
Stay Tuned? Probably not. Time Cop, which we also did? I don't remember. No? Why would there be? Did, what's his face, merge with a... Actually, there was a Van Damme as well. Time Cop travels in time, accidentally merges with... he mustn't ever touch a deep fat fryer. He merges with it. It becomes a horrible deep fried Rissol Mars bar or something. Anyway, I'm losing track. Have you not found out, Abby?
I have not discovered, no.
Well, it's a game to play at home. What other films have deep fat fryer attacks in?
Answers in the comment section, please, viewer.
Listen. Surely. But how did we get to fighting a penguin? No. The terrorist plan, I guess we should talk about.
Yeah, the first kind of setup is we have the terrorists setting up all the little things that are leading to up to their plan. So we have them like kidnapping someone and getting a car and then getting some like official badges and stuff.
Mm.
And something that really annoyed me was they kept putting up titles like 4 hours to face off.
Yeah.
They just kept doing like 2 hours till face off, 90 minutes till face off, 46 and a half minutes till face off.
Which I guess is the term for the hockey, not the terror. Like, the terrorists were falling in line with the timing of the hockey perfectly. They are not allowed to start terrorizing until the game starts, and they can't end until the game ends.
Mm.
It's very sportsmanlike. But there was something interesting about these villains is there wasn't, like, Booth was playing the main boss baddie. Mm. But all the other baddies were quite arrogant and cocky and murderous.
Yes.
Like, there's one guy who's got an old lady hostage, and he's such a prick about it.
He is. He's an absolute bastard. Love him.
And there's a moustached guy who I think he talks to a few characters and tries to get their trust because he's in like a security uniform or something. And he's a prick as well. And then the woman obviously is a bit dicky. I think she tries to convince the little girl.
Oh no, she tries to shoot the girl, but her gun is not loaded.
Yeah, she's out of.
Yeah, so she's a murderous penguin bitch.
Where's that guy? I can't remember if he had a mullet or just nasty hair.
They are not confused.
Even the computer good. Even the computer guy who had glasses and does all that hacky shit, like online banking, I guess, mm-hmm. he did in this. He had a stupid haircut, looked a bit like a thug, but had nerdy glasses. And was he like? He was like playing a video game. He was so bored.
Yes.
doing the crime that he was like. Ah, there's a hockey game out that's quite tense. But nah, I'm gonna play like Doom or whatever. They were all arrogant. Yeah,
they were all very amped up, evil guys, weren't they?
Rather than just generic, oh, here's Genghis Khan guy again. You know, like, not the actual Genghis Khan, like in Bill and Ted, but the guy who looks like Genghis Khan and is in all these action films wasn't in it. There was none of that generic henchman who just looked thuggish. It was all, we're all characters you don't like. Yeah. Every kill of a baddie has to be, you know, satisfying.
Send maybe that guy on the roof.
Well, there were maybe a few generic ones. Like,
I was a bit like, that guy doesn't even know what's happening, and now he's dead.
Good death, though, falling into the announcing screen thing.
Yeah. Pretty, all the sparks and stuff, lovely. Good way to go.
Anyway, jumping ahead slightly.
Well, I guess one of the swerve baddies is the guy who is in charge of the FBI, and he just... I felt like when he turned heel, so to speak, and revealed himself to be in on it, he was dispatched far too quickly at that point. He was kind of crap. Like,
we had no purpose after that.
Yeah, that is the thing. It's like, and it was a shame because it actually did catch me unawares. So it was like, oh, okay, I didn't see that coming. This guy's a bad guy too. Mm. Well played. And then he is dispatched. Too quickly.
Mm-hmm. But then it's always going to be about taking down old Powers Booth, who is enjoying himself the most.
Oh, yeah.
He loves having hostages and killing them.
Not quite as much as he loves having that wig and moustache at the end.
Well, and he already is already moustache clad, so... He did look amazing. I love the look to camera they did to... Like, when like Van Damme's son sees him... And it's just...
No, it's a little girl. She's like, that's the man, Daddy. Daddy, that's the man.
I'm going to wander off. I'm going to wander off and I'm going to ignore you again, daughter.
Yeah, we do see him putting on a moustache, but that's it. And then the full reveal with that hair.
But...
Sorry, I remembered him screaming when the helicopter crashed.
I could see it coming a mile away, but when the helicopter's plummeting and Van Damme's on the roof, and he's like struggling to pull up the helicopter, and he looks out the window and Van Damme's just staring at him, and he's staring at Van Damme, and it's just like, what? In the split second he would have plummeted, they shared a staring moment.
They made it go straight down, which was weird, and they made it take forever.
They had it go fall in a weird vertical straight, like the helicopter went vertical and slowly straight down, and they kept cutting back and forth. They re-delayed it. It was good though, seeing a helicopter crash. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the plan, because I want to hash out the general details.
They've taken people hostage and demanded money from very certain accounts via the government. They know they're not going to get all of that money. They're going to take however much money they can launder in the time it takes them to get the money from the government.
I like they try to justify the fact that obviously the CIA, FBI, all the government people can probably track this money. And that they have to sort of explain, we know you thought about that and that's a terrible plan, but we're only expecting to hide a little bit of it in various bank accounts. Also, didn't that make it quite a paltry amount? Like, was it like 200 grand or something?
No, it was still like in the hundreds of millions.
I thought it was like they were all pretty pleased to get a chunk of the money that was being extorted from the president.
Mm.
But still, the plan is, okay, we all infiltrate... a hockey game that we know the vice president's going to, hold him and his friends hostage, and then make him phone the president to send us money to certain bank accounts.
Technically, that's taking the entire stadium hostage. It's just people watching the game don't know.
Yeah, so we're not going to interrupt the game because we'll be stopped if everyone leaves the arena. That's more of a terrorist incident than killing the vice president and some people in a room. A hockey game is going to play out, and he's given them to each third of the hockey game to pay certain amounts of money. If not, he's going to very smugly murder people.
Yes.
And he does. And I love the way there's a woman crying upset, as you would be if you were a hostage.
I think we'd all agree that the mayor's wife has been the most annoying.
And in a way, whenever they killed someone and you feel really sorry because they've left the husband alive, they'd kill the husband. Like, the chef in the arena's wife is taken hostage so that he'll let them up in the secured lift. And she's murdered. And then they murder him when he's no longer of use. And you kind of go, well, that's a kindness, because he's going to find out his wife's dead and I'd be really upset. So now that he's dead, they could at least be dead together.
The way I was thinking was, it's like, well, yes, like, that's... Because a lot of people wouldn't, in films, they wouldn't unnecessarily kill people these days. I don't know if it's just political correctness or whatever. These guys were just, they knew, like, no, you're done, we're going to kill you now. And I kind of respect that.
it's neater, and it's the logic of, well, I may as well get hung for a sheep as a horse. That's the wrong saying. Sheep as a lamb. If you have committed a massive terrorist attack and took a stadium hostage, killing a few people isn't going to lessen your crime. You're not getting probation because you didn't murder anyone on the way, you know? So I think, you know, it makes more sense, tidier as an evil plot to get money.
And it probably did amp up the tension because it made it quite clear that anyone could die at any point. Yeah.
But I think it's a kindness to kill the mayor's wife, then the mayor, because then he doesn't have to deal with the death for very long, just be upset for a bit, now then he's dead.
It looks like the mayor would be running for re-election this year.
There were some snappy lines.
But they weren't Van Damme's is what my point was.
They were given to
Powers. If anything, this is a classic Powers Booth action movie.
Yes, he's good, isn't he? It's a right old laugh, didn't he?
Yeah, he's probably having a good time making this film, isn't he? Then he does get all the best lines.
He's got a room full of hostages, and he gets to smugly talk to them, and he's really...
that fucking lighter!
That was such a weird red herring.
He has a lighter that looks like the detonator for all the bombs.
Because
it's got lights and flashes, and everyone's like, oh, he's going to set up a bomb. Click. Just light my cigarette.
Now pass me the remote.
Real detonator. Which is also a lightly blinking switch box.
Actually, that was a bit more lo-fi. I liked it when the real one was just, it was a box with some switches on.
Also, did he have other functions on his Swiss Army lighter?
I don't know.
Why was it all flashy lights? But it was, I guess it was to give Van Damme more time to run around being a fire marshal, snipping wires on bombs. Because I can't remember, were there like 11 or so? There was like more than 7 bombs.
But he gave away that there was 10 in one of their conversations over the phone. And then Van Damme caught about 8, I think.
He let the one significant bomb that did go off when Powers Booth is going out, right, let's find out which ones he's missed. It must have been attached to a water pipe.
Yeah.
It's an explosion that just flushes a few people out with water.
It doesn't hurt anyone at all.
No fiery burning deaths for them. A lucky, convenient, soothing bomb explosion.
That is so confusing, though. It's like, I'm at a place that's made of ice, and there's a bomb, but the thing that happens is water. Not fire, or ice.
Well, if fire plus ice equals water, so...
Maybe they thought, like, they've blown up the rink?
It's all suddenly melted out of this door. Well, I just thought that was odd and convenient. And I think it's only the one bomb that gets... he basically got all but one. And he defeated the terrorists, mano-a-mano occasionally.
I suppose he was a little bit super competent in knowing exactly where the bomb... He says, I'm just guessing, and yet he guesses perfectly every time.
He guessed 20 places... And then he found out there were 10 bombs. So if he just checked all of his places, he'd still get them.
Yeah, fair point.
I'm
on your side, Van Damme.
Just give a fire marshal a map and tell him, think of places you put bombs. I think he's probably just sat there mulling it all. If I was going to commit a horrible terrorist atrocity, where would I get the most victims? and you correctly found out most of them.
The thing we haven't addressed is at no point when they're training the firemen, so they teach them taekwondo or whatever it is that he does.
Taekwondo? That's... Well, it's just for fun, isn't it, in the dojo at the weekends. You know, you're going to expect Van Damme to have cool fights, and he does, while running around, firing gardens, jumping and up and down, climbing stuff.
Plus, I suppose you can't ask a professional martial artist to look like they don't know martial arts, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It would kind of probably be, he would look too competent.
A fire marshal could equally know martial arts if he wanted to. I think that's not some of the stuff I think he's just like. as implausible as it is. The terrorist scheme is a bit derpy. Like, expect it. They get delays, and so they do execute some people. And then they are. I thought perhaps they said they were going to wait till the third.
Mm.
That sounds weird, but. And they were actually going to go after the second, third, because that was enough money to go early.
Mm.
And they sneak. If I thought they were going to sneak out, and then. No, they are really just. Terrorists of their word. Their word is their bond, and they're going to wait till the final of the hockey game to wait for the president to pay off the hostage. I don't know, whatever. So Van Damme gets wind of what's happening. How did he know they were terrorists?
It's because they take his daughter.
Oh yeah, of course.
But before that, yeah, because a lot of the tension is in infiltrating the vice president's office and setting up the, because they're not known about by the whole other, the whole stadium doesn't know there are terrorists, even though I'm pretty sure guns are fired. The cops are surrounding the perimeter, but they're told not to come close or they'll set off bombs.
Mm.
And not to tell the media, there's a media blackout, so somehow this like sea of flashing lights is not being reported on the news by helicopters.
Oh, well, they did, all their guns were silenced, of course, so naturally they make no sound whatsoever in films.
Somehow.
I can answer your question.
Go on.
He rang the police to say that someone had taken his daughter. Then the police put him through to the Secret Service, and they were saying, then they told him what was going on.
Yeah.
He was on the inside.
But we got a perimeter of, you know, cops, FBI, flashy lights, cars, police cars and all this.
Yes.
I couldn't think of what a police car was called. they're all stuck waiting outside. The FBI guy or whoever is in charge of it is in on it, so he's delaying everyone. No SWAT teams are to go in, and when they make vague attempts, I think they do get hostages killed and stuff, don't they?
He is obliged to do some things.
Yeah, but he's delaying things to make sure that they get plenty of time to get the money. And then he eventually, when he twigs, there's a fire marshal running around sending special messages out via the sign, the flashy sign. Not since LA Story have read a sign that's been helpful.
That douchey guy who kidnapped the old woman was blowing up with a rocket launcher.
Yeah.
He was having a good time as well.
Him in his flouncy pink shirt and his ridiculously long earring.
Figurels? Is that what she gave him?
Yes. Yeah, fig something. Some sort of...
Fig Newtons.
Oh, I was really sad when she died.
Yeah. I wanted her to be more sassy.
Yeah, I wanted her to maybe, like, somehow...
Hit me with a rolling pin or something.
Yeah.
If she was, like, digging in the garden, so if the creep had shown her gun, like, he shows his gun to her as if to threaten her to get in the house... She should have took a little trowel and, like, jabbed him in the crotch. And, like, gone, no! Like, murdered him. The whole plan would have fallen apart then, because they wouldn't have been allowed in the security elevator. She'd only womaned up and troweled him to death. But, like, the Van Damme running around bombs, you don't need that all explained. But at one point, the FBI guy, it reveals himself by coming. He thinks, this fire marshal, I'm glad he's doing it. It's like Die Hard, isn't it? And then he has to, I snuck in to, I thought I could find you and stuff. And he basically has to pretend to be good for a bit, doesn't he? But the thing is, the baddies that are terrorists are shooting at Van Damme. And they shoot at the black guy, the FBI who's in on it. And he's all cross about it because he was trying to maintain cover to execute him Is that right? Does that make sense?
To, well, sort of just to get closer and find out what he knows and maybe if he's, how that's many bombs right. he's disposed and stuff like that.
Oh, so they just he doesn't kill him outright because he wants to find information off of him. And why wouldn't he's added the FBI badge to prove who he was and all this. And then but that guy ends up getting the daughter as a hostage for a bit. The son stays put in his chair,
mm-hmm.
even though he's arguing with his sister endlessly. And the daughter's a hostage for a bit. And Van Damme, how does he kill that guy? I feel like it's a cool way.
Which guy?
The FBI black guy who did the old swerve.
Oh, he set him on fire with his that water pistol. What the fuck?
Yeah, his son had snuck a water snuck. It's not like you have a metal detective for plastic water pistol. He'd got a water pistol because he's a little prankster and he'd had it confiscated. And Van Damme then, at some point off screen, filled it up with petrol or
lighter fluid. Yeah.
It's not that much. Like, what he did works, but that guy was completely engulfed in flames immediately.
Mm.
What was he made of?
He'd walked through a puddle of kerosene on the way in.
And then when he had his slight return, he'd managed to put himself out and then come after him as like a melty
face. Always, it's always good to have a movie where someone comes back melty faced and disgusting. But like, it was disappointing when they have this swerve and it's like out of nowhere, a bit ridiculous. But then they murder him. He's like melted, and then it's still about Powers Booth and his room full of vice presidents and wimps.
Mm.
Well, a vice president.
That vice president's voice.
I don't know. I found him very distracting. I don't know if you guys have watched the latest season of Gotham, but that the guy who plays the vice president plays like a. Like a bad guy in it. I won't give it away in case you do want to watch it. But I couldn't stop hearing him saying in a really gravelly voice, Bruce. Bruce. Just me.
I can't put two and two together.
You haven't watched the very latest one, have you?
Yeah, it's the new series. It's the second, like the later half of the new series.
What, three?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that was out. Amazing.
Gotham tangent aside.
Bruce.
So, I mean, you know, there's not... another point that we mentioned and should be talked about is the contrivance of Van Damme. Once they get... Like, Booth gets a... He has a conversation over the radio or something about where he is. And he hears the appropriate crowd noise or reaction to something. And then Booth is like... Ah, we know where he is. He's at Bomb 7. And so Van Damme has to hide. And he chooses to hide by taking the goalies... We've established the good writing in as a locker room scene where the boy gets to meet meet and talk to some of the topless muscle men.
Yeah.
And hear them swear in French or whatever. we establish that one of the... Van Damme was a goalie when he used to play hockey. And he thinks one of the... team members is a bit shit. But that someone's ill and they're playing for some reason.
Tolliver.
And he's on the bench and he goes back and he's like lying having got oxygen or something.
Yeah, nebulizer.
And so Van Damme steals his clothes off of him and leaves somehow. Him there. And starts hiding on the hockey.
Yeah. I kind of see what they're going for because he'd run out of options of places to hide. But that whole scene of him going out into the goals was so stupid.
But you can't not have it. You want,
I suppose.
You've got to have a hockey playing moment in the hockey terrorism film.
I want to know what his kid thought. Did he think that Tolliver, for some reason, loved him when he did the symbol? Or did he think, my dad's down there? Why the fuck is my dad down there?
Yeah, because he has the best save ever there's ever been in hockey.
Yeah.
He's under pressure. He's trying to be like a goalie for a bit. And he's behaving oddly and everyone's commenting on it on the commentary team. And then he makes this great save. And it's like, oh, yay, and stuff. And then he has to do his in signal to his son to show, don't think it's your favourite hockey player. It's me, your dad. But you're right. It's like... Maybe they're part of a secret society and they're all like, does the son think that's my dad? Obviously, but he's like, he's on the pitch in the uniform of this guy, he's not going as like,
can tell it's him,
McCord or whatever.
Yeah,
so that was, I mean, they established, they justified, they mentioned the signal where he, like, I don't know, does an X, crotch chop or whatever it was.
It was I love you in sign language.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah, the little girl teaches him.
Yeah, see, set up and pay off.
Yeah.
Well, but like,
pay attention.
I didn't know it was I love you. I just thought you did a weird, like, we're in a secret society gesture.
Mm.
But surely he says it out loud explicitly.
Shut up!
And then, even though no one recognises Van Damme in this costume, somehow one of the villains, who's standing far away, can see that it's him on the pitch, and then back to chasing him. Then
he's not very big, like compared to other action stars, Jean-Claude Van Damme. So he might be the only guy in the audience who actually looked at him and went, "That guy's much smaller."
He has a different gait to his shuffling on the ice. Also, he's playing weirdly, so it might be a bit odd.
Mm.
Oh, but they also would have seen the guy in the back on the nebulizer, because they came the same
way. Oh, yeah, that might be okay. He did see the...
Yeah, that one.
Was it a nebulizer? He was on oxygen, wasn't he?
That's what a nebulizer is, isn't it?
No, that thing that jolts you alive.
That's a defibrillator.
Oh, you're right. I don't know. Why are we...
We're film buffs, not medical buffs.
We have the obligatory let's play hockey and be really great at it, because I'm a hero. And then it's when that's over, he's just... Right, I need to get off this pitch. What's the most inconspicuous way? I'll punch out a ref and get sent off, completely altering the game and being a terrible sport, and just leading to the most baffling commentary. Oh, it's the greatest save ever after we thought he was behaving weirdly, and now he's punched someone. What is wrong with this guy? I know he's ill, but this is a crazy business. But they get him back off, and he's in the pads.
That's
for a bit,
like,
as well.
That must be what it's like. When Quantum Leap. That guy, he laid down. According to everyone else, he went back outside, did some weird stuff, and then went back in the dressing room and laid down again.
It is oddly Quantum Leap-like. Yeah. Odd behaviour from someone who was fine a minute ago. But yeah, after a Quantum Leap hockey match, save the day business, he's back into the lock. So that now he gets to fight in hockey clothes to keep the hockey theme alive and well. And he probably does to fight that guy who... outsaw who he was, didn't he?
Oh yeah,
the locker room fight, didn't he?
Mm.
And he ice skated someone in the face.
Mm. Oh, that's badass! Yeah.
And then I think there was a skate sharpening machine as well.
Oh my god! Oh.
Which
and the stamper on that guy's hand.
Oh mate, the stamping the hands bit—that's amazing.
Again, all set up and pay off.
They used the
arena really well.
They think of all the cool things you could do as takedowns in a hockey stadium, and they have fun finding a reason to do them all.
They even have a fight in a gym.
Yeah, it's good. Like that's what I want from a themed action movie. If you're going to have, you know, if it takes part in an airport, you have all the airport stuff happen. If you take, you know, that's what you should do. It delivers what it's supposed to at every turn. And Van Damme is charismatic enough. The kids are a little bit annoying, but they're kids. They're meant to be annoying.
Mm.
And the terrorists are deliciously villainous. Yeah. So it's all the pieces are all there for a really good romp. And it, even though part of me is like, it's a really stupid plan and this is all really contrived, I don't care.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. Like, it's not... We're kind of making it up. Maybe it's better than it is. It's not perfect, certainly.
No.
But there's stuff to enjoy.
Yeah, of course. It's, like you said, it delivers what it is, exactly.
If you're not laughing with it, you're laughing at it.
Mm.
And both are acceptable forms of enjoyment. And it's quite thrilling. Like, like the fights are pretty reasonable. And I like all the smashing of objects. Like you've got to... Not just, you know, punch, kick, roundhouse kick, you're done. But smashing into things, struggling, like, not just this is a martial arts film either. It was a rough and tough, you know, conventional American-style action movie.
Mm.
And that's good. How did we progress to the point where he was, like, on the roof? Because he's still going around trying to get these bombs like he's in a video game.
I'm not quite sure, because...
The guy kidnaps the girl again.
Oh, she's used to... She's like... Bloody Peach from Mario Kart. Princess Peach the Child, that's who she is.
I suppose we should talk about the kids a little. We haven't really mentioned too much.
Go on.
Like you said, yes, they're kids and they're supposed to be annoying. But I think this is one of the better kind of child actors.
The boy's in Sleepless in Seattle as well, I think. And he's alright, as kid actors go.
Mm, they're, because they are... Like, especially him, he is the annoying child.
Yeah.
So it works. And I like the speech she gives to Powers Booth when he's kind of questioning her. Like, my daddy's going to come and get you.
She's right. And also, both of the children, which is good for an action hero, his children should be also little mini heroes.
Mm.
And the kid isn't taking any shit from the black guy
who's trying
to convince him to... I'm with the FBI. Your dad asked me to make you leave your seat and come with me. And he's like, my dad wouldn't have done that.
And he tricked him as well. He said, oh yeah, have you spoken to my mum? And he's like, yeah, he's invited me over to have dinner with your mum. He's like, they're not together anymore. You can go away now.
She divorced him because he keeps taking the kids out and then ditching them to do other things.
Yeah.
Change light bulbs in various other places that need health and safety checked on.
So yeah, but like that moment when he kind of tricks the bad guys, punching the air, like, yeah, he did it kind of moment, so...
Just hold your bladder, you'll be fine.
Although, like, I definitely felt that the story after this film finishes, that his daughter is definitely going to have some issues growing up, because the things she has to go through and sees is traumatising.
She's alright, though. She starts wandering off this after the... She sees her stamp on the hand of Booth and his terrible disguise, and like that impression you did was like, it was just, Daddy's that guy, you know, like that bit. She's obviously okay with approaching a man who had a gun to her head, even though, you know, she should still be terrified. And also, they had that they had a bluff at the point where the terrorists are trying to escape, the ones that are left. They had a bit where an FBI guy comes up and goes, oh no, it was like the mayor's, when someone working for the mayor, like, the mayor would like to thank you, can you come with us? And you're like, don't go, it'll be another terrorist. It's like, no, it isn't. Ah, that was a legit guy. Powers Booth is sneaking off with his terrible costume. And that was a nice bit of a bluff and a bit of tension. But yes, we got to the roof because various kidnapping schemes going wrong.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Like, this, one of the things that I had a problem with was it starts unravelling a bit towards the end. Like, it loses a bit of it, the really excellent pace it had all the way through. And by the time he got to the roof, you kind of just go with the flow usually, but that's when I start kind of questioning a couple of things. It's like, okay, what's the end anymore. Yeah, what's the end game on this? Why is he going on the roof?
You have to stop the bombs, I guess.
Yeah.
But then his daughter, he knows, is with the terrorists in the room now. So he has to get to her and make sure his son isn't... He doesn't stop his son being approached. He doesn't know he's in danger necessarily. But yeah, you're right. But then you have to call into question, would all of these armed men not be able to stop one fire marshal? Which is kind of, you know, just kind of getting a bit silly when you start questioning that, because that's the whole premise, isn't it? It's like asking, why are there people singing in a musical? That's not very practical. So
maybe, but like, maybe just a little bit long at this point. It's like you, there's a natural end coming up, and you usually feel it when you're watching a film. And I think perhaps the film oversteps it by about 5 or 10 minutes.
I don't know.
It doesn't ruin the film.
No, at all. I think it's fine. I didn't have a problem with it going too long. I felt... It needed to do a big high-up stunt. So go to the roof of this dome, go through the ceiling, smash a terrace through the score as we're getting towards the end. The game has gone into sudden death. The terrorists are letting the bank funds keep going because they're nice and good sports, as we mentioned. So everyone's kind of waiting for the last puck to be smashed. And instead, the scoreboard blows up with a terrorist landing on it. Van Damme ziplines with... Was it C4 that he's collected from the various
bombs? It was a homemade bomb.
Oh yeah, He made a homemade bomb, MacGyvered it.
Yeah.
So he blows up a hole that he can jump through and start shooting terrorists, because we're going full silly now. So he starts shooting terrorists in the smoky dark room, but somehow Powers Booth gets out while the shooting is happening.
No, he was out as soon as there's hole in the roof, I'm off.
He wasn't a hacker, he was just a computer guy. Did he get killed in a poetic way, or did we just not see? Like, I don't feel like there was a big focus on that.
I don't think so. I think there was just a lot of smoke and gun firing in that last scene.
Yeah.
I think everyone just bought it.
And then I guess one of the vice president's aides was trying to help as well, because he'd had his gun... presumably taken off of him, and I think one of them sacrifices himself as well.
I like the way that the vice president scarpered.
That's what he does. We should do.
But it was just because none of his aides were there anymore, I don't think. They'd been killed. And he came out. And then the first ones that saw him, they were like, come with me. And he's just, yeah, all right, let's go.
I think the point where I was starting to feel like this is being drawn out a bit long is that sort of concludes it. Because he hasn't killed the main terrorist, everyone's evacuating, the stadium's aware that something's going on. It's all, yay, the day is saved. Most of the bombs have been defused. One goes off, a corridor of water knocks a few people over like Skittles, but everyone's more or less fine. But we still have to get to a point where a helicopter is plummeting through the roof of the arena. So we have to have a whole contrivance to, like, Van Damme chases down Booth for a bit, and then how do we get to the point where, I can't remember.
He followed him to the roof. Because Powers Booth was always going to get picked up.
That's where he was running to, and yeah. they just followed him, literally, simple as that.
Yeah.
So he gets in his helicopter. How does Van Damme get...
Van Damme has a gun from one of the other guys that was on the roof.
Yeah.
He fires at the bottom. He manages to kill the pilot and douchebag earring. And yeah. Powers Booth can't get control of the helicopter, and it falls.
Falls very weirdly.
Sideways, slowly, through the roof.
Causing a kind of sudden death for him.
Yeah. It would have made more sense if it was in slow motion, but I don't think it was in slow motion.
They just lowered it slow. Or something. Yeah. Icy death. He should have said something like a hockey pun, really.
Yeah.
That's what the noise was. That was regret. The whole time he was going down, I've run out of puns.
I've used them up.
Puck you, buddy. Just thrown hit a hockey puck through the window that smashed the helicopter as it crashed, and it hit her like a puck in the eye. Maybe jam a bit of glass in there. Then he explodes on the ice.
He should have had it in his pockets the whole time. Just a hockey puck that has puck you around.
Ice to see you.
I think there was a generic person in the crowd who has like one line or something, and they do have the slogan "puck you" or something, or "puck off" on their t-shirt or like written on their head or something.
Yeah, I hear you down front, but they were to his side. It's like, I didn't pay to watch you. You're not watching him? He's off to the side.
Sit down, buddy.
You're just a mental.
Yeah. People are all boozed up in a hockey match as well. It's all about, it's not so much about points and ice skating as it is about inciting violence from men, from men with sticks. It's basically goading people to become, like, barbarians.
Violent
barbarian showdown. But, we get our big climactic ending scene, helicopters explode, and then it really suddenly ends, as if it knew we were getting a bit tired. And it goes, back of the ambulance, that's all that then.
Tries to compensate for this, and abruptly end.
get him to hospital quick.
That's my daddy, he's a fireman.
And national hero now.
Yeah.
He can now be, his testicles have grown back because he's confirmed to be a fireman by his daughter. And all you have to do to prove you're a real fireman, because a fire marshal is a real fireman.
Hmm.
If you're a fire marshal and you're listening, you're a real fireman. You don't have any issues.
Yeah, like preventing is just as good as fighting.
So. I mean, most of the job of a fireman is just coming and testing fire alarms and telling you not to put chip fire over your face.
Using like bags in doorways.
Next time there's a chip pan fighter, don't have a fight with a penguin. Put it out with a damp cloth. That's what they say.
You've forgotten the principal role of a fireman in this country.
What?
Going to students' halls of residence and saying, you're all twats.
Yeah, most of the interactions me and you have had with firemen have been standing in our pyjamas, getting told off for someone trying to have a cigarette in their room. Admittedly, that is a big part. That's the thing, a fireman's job isn't putting out fires, it's preventing fires.
Hmm.
And so But anyway, Van Damme learns the lesson of all I had to do was save a hockey arena full of people to feel like a man again.
With my expert knowledge of diffusing bombs and...
makeshift flamethrowers.
Knowing exactly how to demolish a building.
Yeah. And just knowing how to outsmart terrorists and the FBI. So, I don't know. I feel like it was fun, and that's enough.
It was, yeah. I don't think any of us wanted anything more from this film, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I think it went a step above slightly because it was clever.
Yeah.
Like it.
For a Die Hard rip, for the let's cash in on the Die Hard formula movie, it did what it was supposed to and exceeded it. So what sudden death is it? Is it death? Is it suddenly? What's that thing where you spontaneously combust? Is it spontaneous combustion? Or maybe a hockey metaphor, Abby? You're such a hockey expert now with your vague looking it up on Wikipedia.
The film kind of almost has the metaphor for us because it has the hockey match going on.
Right.
And I feel like it is a hockey match that has gone into sudden death.
Ah, so you're tired.
It's a tense match. Obviously, it's a really good tense match, but you know each side is equal coming towards the end, and it has gone into sudden death, which you're maybe not expecting at the end.
But that
amps
up.
It's going on a little bit too long, but the tension is still there.
And you want it to conclude in a satisfying way,
and then,
for the good guys.
But then it is kind of it does all end when someone scores a goal and it's just finished.
And that's you go, oh yeah.
Yeah.
They're the champions. And
then you've just got the endless commentary digestion at the end.
Which we are dissecting. Doing right now.
Yeah. Tedious.
I was going to say it's Pingu.
Pingu. Okay, violent penguin.
No, because on the surface, Pingu does exactly what it's supposed to for kids, where it's like, oh, it's little figures and they're going around. But when you watch it as an adult, you're like, you're really abusive and angry, and I'm pretty sure you're all swearing constantly just based on the way that you say it. And I feel that way about it, where it fulfilled all of the criteria that you'd expect from the movie, but then it gave those extra touches as well that really put it above three.
Yeah, I think I'm on board with Anthony's one. Not more, but I like the idea that it is like a hockey match. If you don't like watching hockey, AKA if you don't like watching silly action movies, you're not going to enjoy it. But if you do like it, it's a really good, fun, tense one that goes to sudden death. I like the idea that you're not going to enjoy it if you want a thinky movie about something else. If you don't, it's not your thing, you're not going to enjoy it. But if you like it, it's a really good example of it. So it's a good hockey match. It's a really tense, exciting match that you're riveted to. And at the same time, there is a bit more novelty to it. So maybe it's not just a hockey match, but a novel. Like, it's a mascot's hockey match. It's a bit wackier than your usual. There's lots of different mascots skating. Like, I mean, I don't know. I think it's a bit sillier than your normal action movie. It's got chip fat fights. Well, they don't fight with chip fat. They have a kitchen-based fight where a deep fat fryer is used. A penguin is beaten up. It's a little more filled with levity than your traditional hockey match, which can be quite violent and not funny. But I can't really best you guys, so I think we accept it's a maybe if Pingu did a hockey match, an episode of Pingu, it's slightly comical but also intense and exciting.
What do they call those matches? Like when it's they get like celebrities to play a match,
or like an all-star kind of for charity or something?
Yeah, like
or
a show.
Showcase?
Like a showcase match, something like that. But like you say, it's like all famous mascots.
Yeah, and a novelty fundraiser gimmicky hockey match, but it gets all serious and exciting. Or whatever. I feel like we've got there somehow. Between us, we said we liked it.
Yeah, it's a solid one. Like it should be up there with some of his other stuff, like Kickboxer and AWOL. It's a pretty good one.
And JCVD is quite a good one. That's not like a full action movie, but it's quite
different.
Quite a tense film that's somewhat meta. I recommend that one. And we did Knockoffs previously, and that's really goofy, but we enjoyed it. So
yeah, that's my two.
It's certainly not a bad. All the Van Dammes we've done on Spoilerfield have passed some kind of quality test. Like Time Cop's really good as well, even though that's kind of corny.
Yeah, it's a bit of a dream team. Peter Hyams, Jean-Claude Van Damme for
it's a good combo,
here, isn't it?
Yeah, so there we go. Any last thoughts or quotes?
Yeah.
Classics.
So.
Good. He doesn't say anything to be like, fire marshal law is in effect. Fire marshal law is in effect would be a terrible line as well. Roundhouse kick. He doesn't do that many.
See, I said this.
He doesn't. What's that film he does loads? Are they almost like he's a mullet and he's roundhouse kicking everyone in like
double denim. Doves.
Isn't that all
all the ones where he has long hair and denim, he's roundhouse kicking mad. And this one was a bit more grounded. He's as grounded in reality as a stupid film can be. About.
If you want a Jean-Claude Van Damme film, this is definitely one that you should watch.
Oui, merci beaucoup.
Salut. No, that's hello. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Ciao. That's not French.
Sure.
Bye.